You have some concerns about some of the health care changes, which are going to take effect, seeing as though we've had the vote now in the Senate and the vote to end and the filibuster, so we will have a vote Christmas Eve. And then there might be reconciliation, there might not, they might take the Senate package. What are your views of this?
Well, again, we continue to think that this is a missed opportunity for real health care reform. The issues that we're trying to address include not just expanding coverage to more Americans, but making that coverage safer, more stable, and more affordable. There's really not nearly enough being done to try to address the underlying cost drivers of health insurance costs, the fees that hospitals charge, that physicians charge, the way that hospitals and physicians practice today. So we really think there's been a missed opportunity to have sustainable and real health care reform. And we also further think, as our studies have shown, that there'll be a substantial increase in premiums for most of our members, and we represent over 34 million members across the country.
You, as somebody who is representing an insurance company, if I or somebody in my family has a pre-existing condition under the legislation which is going to pass, you will not be able to deny me anymore. Why would you tell me that's a bad thing?
We think that's a great thing. We proposed that exact thing nearly 2 years ago. A set of proposals that would make pre-existing conditions and things of that sort of thing of the past. But in order to ensure that we are able to maintain adequate rates for people, we need to be sure that everybody is insured in the system. If people can wait until they're sick to buy coverage, those free riders are really just transferring costs on to those who do the right thing and actually buy health insurance coverage.
So, Brad, what's going to happen then, as far as you see it, once we get, again, whether we take the Senate bill and that's the one that actually passes, or there is reconciliation, which would open up a whole new can of worms we don't want to get into right now, do you see that there will be a mandate that people who do not, say young people who are healthy, who do not have to buy insurance coverage right now, would have to buy insurance coverage?
Well, there certainly is a coverage requirement in the Senate bill as well as in the House bill. Unfortunately, for most Americans, that penalty is very, very modest. For most Americans, it would be beginning at $95, which is substantially less than the cost of that coverage. So our concern is that many young individuals will make a perfectly rational choice to not buy that coverage. And if they're not included in the pool, it just means that the cost for everybody that is in that pool is going to be substantially higher. So while we appreciate the fact that there is a framework in there for that kind of coverage requirement, we just think it needs to be substantially strengthened to make sure that everybody is covered.
So would you want to see then, again, you're one of the largest insurers in this state. What you're looking at is the healthy people. Obviously, you would think that we would be a lot better off as a state, as a country, if the healthy people who tend not to get sick that much would be part of that pool along with those who are constantly visiting the doctor.
That's exactly right. You know, insurance sometimes is a complicated thing, but essentially what you're trying to do is to take premiums in to pay for expenses. And with health care and the same with auto and life insurance and homeowners insurance, you know, very few people are the ones that are generating the largest amount of costs. So in order to keep premiums down for everybody, we need to have everybody participate, including those who use you know, fewer services. And the benefit that they get for that is that they get protected against catastrophic and other consequences of health events.
And, you know, of course, the argument from some people, especially libertarians, is that the government does not have any right to mandate that I buy insurance. So why would you defend that?
Well, in order for insurance markets to work effectively us to be able to maintain affordable insurance premiums and eliminate things like pre-existing conditions, we need to have everybody insured. We require everybody who has a car to purchase auto insurance, or at least we do in most states, because we understand that free riders will generate additional costs, and it's really not fair for those who do the right thing and to buy insurance coverage to subsidize those who don't.
Okay, and the current legislation, both the House version and the Senate version, do not address your concern in that regard?
Not adequately. The manager's amendment in the Senate bill certainly moves a little bit closer in the right direction, but is still very inadequate, we think, given the substantial premium increases that young younger Americans and even those of average age are going to see. We just think that people will choose to defer buying coverage until such time as they actually need the medical services, which is not going to work and drive up costs for everybody.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense, does it? I only buy the insurance when I need it.
Exactly.
If I have an accident, then I'm going to go out and call State Farm. But that doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. Oh, very good. So I was just going to ask you to sum it up in a nutshell. Your concerns, WellPoint's concerns right now, as they pertain to the country and perhaps they pertain to our state, why this is not going to be such a good deal, even though you agree with some of the things that are in this healthcare legislation.
Yeah, I think that the biggest concern that we have is that this is really just a missed opportunity to really address the core drivers of healthcare costs. And that we have focused all the attention on some aspects of insurance market reform, some of which we are quite supportive of, but that costs are going to continue to increase at an unsustainable rate because we've missed an opportunity to really address those core cost drivers.
Excellent. Brad, thank you so much. Good talking to you again.